live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for June the 10th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This, my fellow Americans, is our one of two. And our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Man, we have so much going on in the news and so much going on otherwise. It is just amazing. But the good news, ladies and gentlemen, we are here. We are in fine form. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips, always. This is the broadcast for June 10th in the year of our Lord, 2021. Wow. Everybody's trying to do everything all at once, aren't they? This society is just getting crazier and crazier by the second. The good news, though, ladies and gentlemen, is we're here for you on your radio 6 days a week, 2 hours a day. Spread the word, tell the tale. LibertyRoundtable.com. That's the website. LovingLiberty.net is the website for our nationally syndicated radio program. And what can I say? There's so much going on in the news. I just don't even really know where to start. Let's just start with, I guess, yesterday's recap, shall we? A discussion of all things liberty with Larry Pratt took place first hour. We talked about joints for jabs. Adds new incentives for shots. USA Today, joints for jabs, believe it or not, isn't officially a thing in Washington State. The state's Liquor and Cannabis Board authorized a joint if you get the vaccinations. That's right, one joint for adult consumers who can prove they have actually a vaccination card. You say the vaccine passports aren't here? You say the government's not mandating it? No, they're not. They're just offering joints. If you go ahead and get it, joints for jabs. How do you like that, ladies and gentlemen? U.S. District Judge Roger T. Menendez rules California's 32-year-old assault weapons ban is unconstitutional. That's great news, folks, but will it change anything in California? Will the government back off and not violate your gun rights? I don't think so. I think they're just going to ignore the ruling. They're going to continue to get conflicting rulings. They're going to go ahead and make sure that they win on this one. But I'm telling you, the Second Amendment, sacrosanct, sacred, right? We also talked about shocker 2 days ago. Republicans win two Texas mayoral races, including one in McAllen, Texas, which is 85% Spanish. So much for the narrative that, Republicans are all racist? But, you know, just hearing that a Republican won the race, a lot of people jump up and down for joy, right? Wow, awesome, Republican thinking. What is a Republican, as Kurt Crosby wisely always says? What the heck is a Republican? Is it a platform-keeping Republican? Is it a constitutionally-minded, oath-keeping Republican? Or is it a swamp monster that seems to have undermined President Donald Trump and undermined the values that we hold dear? Many Republican leaders, in my personal opinion, have sold us down the river. Look at Mitt Romney, for example. I mean, what a piece of work. That guy doesn't believe in the platform. Pro-life? Not. Pro-choice? Yes. Pro-gun? Not. Against guns? Yes. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on with these people. They're opportunists. They all want political power. They all want prestige. You know, they all get into Congress poor, not doing very well, at least most of them. And then they come out wealthy as all get out. How does that all occur? You know, I mean, it's just a very strange swamp that we live in America. Judge rules school board action unconstitutional. Teacher reinstated. We're talking about Loudoun County. After the school board placed him on leave for saying he would refuse to recognize and sanction transgender viewpoints by refusing. He says, I won't use pronouns that don't fit the biological makeup of students. I will not affirm that a biological boy can be a girl, or a biological girl can be a boy, because it's against my religion. It's lying to a child. and it's abuse to a child, and it's sinning against our God. What a leader. What a teacher. Right? It's amazing. Guy's name is Tanner Cross, or Byron Tanner Cross, but he goes by Tanner. I commend you, Tanner. I wish we had enough Americans standing up. This is one of the real issues in America people need to understand. When only a few stand up, we get kind of slaughtered piece by piece. We hang separately, as the phrase goes. If we were to stand together, if we really were to stand together, then you know what? This would not be happening. Americans, greater numbers, would rule the day. We would solve the problems. But it takes enough Americans to stand together. All right, we talked about a teen who rear-ended a patrol car, makes a new friend. The sergeant even attended his graduation ceremony the next day. In my opinion, that's one of the coolest stories I've seen in a long time. So this teenage kid crashes into the rear end of a cop car, thinks, oh my gosh, I'm going to jail. This is going to be horrible. Turns out the cop goes, no, listen, this happens all the time. You know, people rear-end each other. It turns out that the student or the kid was not even on his phone. He was not distracted by anything. He just didn't respond in time. He was following a little too close. Anyway, great news that, you know what, cops aren't all bad. And where is the mainstream press on this story? You would think this story would go global. You would think this story would be a good news story to the point where Americans would love it and go, wow, that's awesome. See, cops aren't all bad. We don't have to be at odds with the cops. Sure, the bad apples need to be, you know, drummed out of the system. I get it. And certainly there's some laws that protect cops too much. I get it also. I get wanting accountability for the police. I also get knowing that there's a lot of wonderful police activity and interactions that happen on a daily basis you never get to hear about. All you hear is the mainstream press drumming up the negative side of the situation. The bad apples seem to make news to the point where, you know, if it bleeds, it leads to the point where, you know what, that's all we think of. We just think, oh my gosh, cops are bad. Bad cops, evil cops, horrible cops. Because that lie that's drummed up by the media all the time. What about the good news things about police that happen all day long? Sheriffs and police people and, you know, doing a great job helping people and making a difference. Do you hear about those stories ever? No. Why? See, we like to tell you those stories because I want a fair and balanced. Oh, man, wasn't somebody you say, you know what, we report, you decide. Well, how come they're not reporting this story for you to decide how fantastic that is? Huh? All right, the internet broke on Tuesday, but now it's back after outage at a cloud company called Fastly. Dozens of high-traffic websites went down, including the New York Times, CNN, Amazon, Twitter, Target, Spotify. Not only that, the UK government's homepage couldn't be reached either. So it was a serious outage. You say, well, how could a site like that take down so many sites? You know, yesterday when it was first reported, I didn't have all the deets on it. I researched it a little bit between the broadcasts. And it turns out that what's happening is this is it's called a CDN, for those of you who don't know, which stands for Content Delivery Network. An edge network is another term they use to call it that. And I don't want any of you tech people to call me and tell me, oh, Sam, that's not exactly how it is. I'm trying to put it on the kitchen table, people, okay? But here's what a CDN, a content delivery network, does. Let's say that I have a website. Traditionally, my website would be on a single server computer, and everybody would have to go across the world to that server to get it, okay? And that would create all kinds of traffic problems. Wherever my server is, let's just say that it's in Salt Lake City, for instance, then everybody would have to connect wherever they are to Salt Lake City. So from Japan to Salt Lake City, Texas to Salt Lake City, right? Florida, Salt Lake City, Washington, D.C. to Salt Lake City. And everybody's trying to get to Salt Lake City on the internet. Well, Salt Lake City may not have enough room, enough bandwidth on the road, so to speak, to serve all those people trying to go to Salt Lake City to get Sam's website, right? Got it. Good. Makes sense, right? Well, what if I were to take my website, though, and I were to put it 50 points around the world? Now, this is a very simple example, but what if I were to put it 50 points around the world? What if I put it on a server in New York, a server in Dallas, a server in Chicago, a server in LA, a server in Japan, a server for Europe? Now, when people go, the Europeans go to the Europe server and get it. They don't have to go all the way to Salt Lake, right? The people that are near Chicago get it in Chicago. The people that are near New York, get it in New York. The people that are near Dallas, get it in Dallas. The people in L.A., get it from L.A. And now we're not going to all to Salt Lake. We're going to 10 computers, not one, but we're also going way closer to the people with those servers, right? If you're on the West Coast and you go to an L.A. server, it's way closer than trying to cross all the way to Utah or New York or the East Coast. They don't have to go all the way to the East Coast. All the way from the East Coast to Salt Lake, right? So these edge servers, these cloud servers, well, what happened is this cloud distribution or content distribution network, literally their systems shut down, and therefore, hey, you couldn't load the sites from any of their distribution points, right? Very interesting. Anyway, I thought I'd bring that to your attention. I digress. But I like to help people with some technical understanding from time to time. We had Mary Margaret Stratton, our guest. She was an author. She wants to help people get rid of addiction. Kiss goodbye to addiction. 12stepdiet.com was her website. Incredible stuff. 12stepdiet.com. Check that out. Also, Bitcoin's value declines by over 10%. Why? The U.S. government announced that it had recovered $4.4 million of the cryptocurrencies paid to hackers. Remember, we used to think that Bitcoin was beyond the reach of government, or at least a lot of people believed that. I told you it was bogus from the very start, and I maintain it now. It's bogus. The government can get your Bitcoin, and those who tell you they can't, they're lying to you and they don't understand tech, okay? Yeah, vulnerability of Bitcoin, newly discovered, they claim. Wow. Hacked CEO Joseph Blount. He's with the pipeline. He says his password was a really good one. Like, that helps, right? All right, quick pause. I'm Sam Bushman, Liberty Roundtable Live.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody been having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Brian Rust, you with me, my friend?
I'm here. How are you?
Welcome to the broadcast, sir. A little bit of technical glitches had me grab you late. Thanks for your patience, and welcome, my friend, to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Thank you. Glad to be with you.
Well, there's so much to cover in the news, it's hard to even cover it all. FBI app exposed, triads, cartels, and Middle East crime syndicates. The operation dubbed Trojan Shield. It's in the U.S. I guess, duped criminals across the globe into buying cell phones that had preloaded FBI software on them. Yeah, it was an unprecedented operation in terms of its massive scale, innovative strategy, and technological investigative achievement. Wow. Acting U.S. Attorney Randy Grossman said, your government now is literally creating cell phones with government software on them, tricking people into buying those phones thinking they're legitimate, and it's a problem. How that all went down, the details aren't being disclosed, but Brian, that alone is just shocking, scary stuff.
So is that they're putting that out there so they can track your information? Is that kind of what they're
Yeah, they want to track your communications, uh-huh.
So it's not that they want you to be part of the FBI, you get a badge, you get a kind of a...
Oh, no, sir. Don't we wish, huh?
So we're not part of, we can't flip that out and say, hey, I've got the phone, I'm FBI, you're going to have to stand back or any of that.
No, none of that. No power for you, my friend.
Oh, okay. Well, God.
All there is is we know you've been selling too many Silver Eagle silver dollars,
yeah,
my friend.
That's the problem with you. Darn it. Well, that's not good.
And if you keep that up, we're not going to be able to keep our digital currency and our fiat fake money rolling. So you got to stop that.
Oh, man. Well, shoot.
It's just crazy.
I don't like it. The
Missouri House passed legislation that would make January 12th Rush Limbaugh Day, buddy.
Yeah.
You feeling better?
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm going to have a Brian Rust Day, Golden Silver Day.
Yeah, well, that wouldn't go far. But
hey, man, Golden Silver should go far. We should have that every single day in the Republic, my friend.
Yeah, good point. Jonah, the name might have a problem. You put your name out there. We'll do it. We can do it.
Sam Bushman Day, man. Everybody would be in mourning and stuff like that. I understand. Everybody would be like sackcloth and ashes, praying for repentance so they can get over it.
Well, no.
By the way, they had Utah Jazz second round playoff tickets. It was $55 for standing room only tickets. Brian, do you want to respond to this insanity?
Wow, where are they going to stand? They're just going to
Just up in the arena, I guess there's a standing room only section.
Oh, okay.
For poor people like me and you.
Yeah, that's right.
We're going to roll to the Jazz game and just stand there and eat popcorn.
Darn it, I didn't get the memo. Apparently, I'm not going to be one of them. I didn't know. I'd be right there probably. Yeah.
So I got a question, though. Why wouldn't you just sit down on your couch, buddy, and watch on your big old massive screen TV that I know everybody has now, and then just eat popcorn and just hang out, and it won't cost you any money?
Yeah, I think that's my plan. And with the popcorn, I find that if you have popcorn or marshmallows, it'd be either one, I guess, and there's a bad call, you can throw that at the TV.
Now you're talking.
It's not going to break the TV.
So that's good.
Something to that effect, yeah.
You can also get Skittles with your popcorn. Makes it taste better.
Yeah, but the Skittles might make a little damage, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, they might stick there and get your screen all sticky and stuff like that. Wow. Well, anyway, there's plenty of bad calls going on all over the country for all kinds of reasons. But the good call is Honest Money Update. Honest Money Report. Where's gold sitting, sir?
Gold's sitting at 1888.40.
Let's see. 88.40. Is that down just a teeny bit?
It's about $6 up from last week.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. How about silver?
$27.95.
And is that up a little bit?
30 cents.
Up 30 cents.
Yep.
Man, I just feel rich if I've got a couple of silver, 30 cents more in each one of them.
Well, the whole issue here is that's paper, and physical is still at, rounds are $34, Silver Eagles are $43.
Whoa. Silver Eagles even went up even a whole lot more because it used to be around $38, $39, $40, right?
Yeah, now they're $43. They're pushing because, there's a demand for those, and the changeout's coming up as far as a divide, and they've made this design. Now they're changing to another design. And so it's kind of, they figure this year will be lower mintage of that first production and the lower mintage of this new design.
The lower mintage, what does that mean?
That means that if they made 10 or 100 million, of the 2020s, perhaps the 2021s going forward, there's only I don't know, 500,000 or maybe 1 million as opposed to 10 million or 100. You know,
why though? 30. Why don't we just make more or at least make the same amount?
Well, they make so many through the year, and that minage, you know, minage is a key factor in your price value. So you have a rare coin like an 1895 silver dollar that has a 100,000 minage as opposed to some that have 100 million or whatever it is. And so that's the lower minage and condition is what drives the higher prices.
In other words, the scarcity and the quality.
Correct.
Well, so why aren't they in 2021 going to make at least as many then? I mean, why are they manipulating that number?
Well, their push is to come out with a new design. So sometimes they do that, you know, to...
Okay, so this is not really out of the norm.
Right.
All right. Well, that's important to know, because guys like me start to panic when they start tampering with the silver. We have less silver and less gold. It just means it's going to skyrocket even more belligerently out of proportion if we're not careful, right?
Yeah. They just... and then you've also got, you know, all the nations or the worlds out there, or not worlds, but the various countries out there competing each other on obtaining metal, trying to, you know, put their product out, you know, China pandas or, you know, our gold eagles or Canada maple leaves or Australia kangaroos or, you know, so you have all these countries still trying to get, you know, that dives into that market.
There's a coin called the kangaroo?
Yeah, Australia puts out the kangaroo.
Hey, that's all right, man. I want some of them kangaroos.
Yeah, the roos, they're hopping around out there. They're a nice looking coin. So yeah.
Do you like those?
Yeah, they're pure gold. They're a nice looking coin.
How much?
Yeah.
What kind of value?
They're probably about a 60. Well, let's see if you figure there, your eagles are probably sitting around 2,055. Your kangaroos are probably going to be around the 2000 area or somewhere right there. So the bigger demand is for U.S. So the buffaloes and the eagles seem to have the higher premiums.
All right. Well, while you and I are talking about higher premiums and constitutional currency and all that kind of stuff, governments around the world are talking about Bitcoin, buddy, like nobody's business. Headline says this: first country makes Bitcoin legal. They call it legal tender. Nobody can refuse the payment, if you will. So if you want to pay there, no one can refuse it, says El Salvador president. I don't know how you say it. Nayib Bukele. Anyway, there you have that. What do you think of that?
So they're saying that that's going to be their currency and nobody can refuse to
well,
take
kind
it?
Of. That... The U.S. dollar is still their currency, my friend.
Right, okay.
But you can do U.S. currency or Bitcoin, but I have the choice to pay you in either, and you can't refuse either.
Well, that's interesting.
Well, I'll tell you what, in my opinion, setting the stage for, eventually taking over Bitcoin or some other currency, making it the U.S. digital currency, forcing parity between the fake dollar and this digital fake currency, and as long as you force the relationship the same, you can then have a digital currency that has stability in the marketplace, not because it really does, but because you force it to. And that way you can roll out a digital currency and not necessarily jettison the dollar. You can create a transitionary period. You can also tie it. That's how they did silver and gold. You know, it used to be $35 an ounce mandated by government. That's how they kind of manipulated going out of constitutional currency. And it's the way they'll kind of bridge between fake, what do you want to call them, petrodollars and digital petrodollars, if you will?
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I find that, you know, they say, well, they've got to take the currency now. Well, I've been to places and wanted to use a $50 bill or $100, and they won't take it. So what do I do there? Do I call the government and say, hey, they won't take your currency?
You could do that. They might just call you a terrorist if you did.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, who do you think you are, Brian?
All right. I don't know, but...
Quick pause. We have a whole lot more. Brian Rust, RustCoinAndGift.com on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about honest money, constitutional currency, gold and silver, in contrast with fake fiat currency, whether it be the, well, it grows on trees variety or the digital variety. Doesn't seem to matter, does it? Hang tight. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
On his first trip abroad since becoming president, Biden issued a warning during a speech to Air Force personnel stationed in the United Kingdom. Climate change is the greatest threat to America's national security in the coming years. The White House announced Thursday morning the United States will ship the first batch of 500 million doses of Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccines to 92 countries and the African Union starting in August. 200 million doses will be delivered by the end of the year, and the remaining 300 million will be delivered by the first half of 2022. Myanmar's deposed elected leader, Suu Kyi, and other detained officials have been formally charged by the military junta. The Anti-Corruption Commission has concluded leader Suu Kyi is guilty of committing corruption using her rank. The complaint says it found Suu Kyi had illegally accepted $600,000 as well as gold from the former Yangon region chief minister. USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Jay Schrader, Super Bowl 22 champion and former Raiders quarterback. Playing professional football for 11 years beat my body up pretty bad. I've had so many surgeries on my neck, back, and shoulders and knees, I've just learned to live with constant discomfort. I tried so many products, some worked for a little while, but nothing gave me total relief until one day, a golfing buddy introduced me to SonsOfLibertyCBD.com. I used their CBD Muscle Ease, rubbed it on my hands and neck, and wow, what did it do for me? I immediately began using their other products, and I have golfed pain-free for the first time in many years. I've reached out to Sons of Liberty CBD and visited their operation from farm to factory. Folks, this team walks the walk. Their motto is, for vets, by vets. I shared the product with my friend Wayne Allen Root, and now he's a fan of SonsOfLibertyCBD.com. Wayne's fans will receive a 15% discount using code WAR15 at checkout. I've told all my NFL buddies about SonsOfLibertyCBD.com, and now I'm telling you. Go to SonsOfLibertyCBD.com. When it works for you, like it did for me, we both win.
The crisis at the U.S.-Mexico border is worsening, and a lawmaker says the Biden administration is okay with the open border. Dan Naraki from the Ohio USA Radio News Bureau reports.
New data from Customs and Border Protection shows that border agents encountered more than 180,000 migrants in May, a slight increase from April, and still on pace for a 20-year high. Representative Pat Fallon says that the federal government has the means to stem the flow of illegal immigrants coming to the border, but the Texas Republican tells Newsmax TV that the Biden administration doesn't want to use them.
There's no will, but we have the means to do so. President Trump did that when he had the migrant protection protocols, in other words, the way to Mexico policy. He was deporting bad actors. He was building a wall. And he was saying, if you come here, you're not going to get welfare easily. And now what we're doing, what we're seeing is Biden has reversed it. And they're lying to us. Mayorkas testified in front of the Homeland Security Committee in the House and said that the border is secure 2 months ago. That was a lie.
USA Radio News.
I don't even know how to respond to it, ladies and gentlemen, right at the bottom of the hour I hear. That was a government lie. And ladies and gentlemen, is anything they're telling us the truth these days, Brian?
What's that?
Is anything they're telling us the truth these days? They lie to us about everything.
It seems like it. It seems like that's the big blockchain, isn't it? I mean, isn't that kind of what, they, you know, here and there, and you can't trace it, and that seems like that's the web.
Sad tale, but true, but you know what? We're learning. And I told people this from the start. I told them not to dip their toe into crypto, Ryan. People didn't listen to me at all, though. Now you got El Salvador making Bitcoin a forced payment. You got to accept it. You have to by law, right? But now there's a headline that says cyber cash is traceable after all. And it's a big article explaining how the government was able to basically get a hold of the Bitcoin that the hackers stole from the pipeline payout. And now everybody's going, wait a minute, how did the government force that to happen? And the answer is the government has the ability to trace Bitcoins and get them and steal them, or I don't know what you want to say, intercept them, whatever word you want to use here. What I find fascinating is I told everybody this from the start, Brian, right from the very start of Digital Coin. I said, don't dip your toe in the crypto. If you believe it can't be hacked or the government can't get, you know, you're fooling yourself. The government would not allow this currency to grow like it has as competing to the dollar unless they had an agenda and a backdoor. And I told everyone that very clearly. And everybody went, no, Sam, you just don't understand the tech. If you understood the tech, then you'd think different. And then now, what do we see? We see it's exactly as I said that it was. And I'm not trying to be belligerent and run around with I told you so, but people, come on. If you believe the government's going to let a competing currency grow that they have zero control over, you don't even have to be technical to know that, Brian. They're not going to do that.
That's right. They're not going to give up their control or power. Well, and you know, I think if I remember right, I think a lot of these people that made money quick in the Bitcoin, you know, they bought these big homes, or they, you know, they sold their Bitcoin for X amount of dollars and became instant millionaires and were buying these big homes and so on. Well, I believe back then there was reports of, okay, well, you guys made X amount, and you might say you can hide it because of this, but no, they were diving into the fact and coming back to people saying, okay, well, you owe us X amount of dollars. Your gains in that right there was huge, and we can prove the fact that your accounts went from here to here, and you stole. So they were doing that then, and so they were diving into that and making people pay back, you know, taxes as a result of their gains and all that. So I think they were kind of watching it. It wasn't just out of, you know.
Now, if you're somebody like me, Brian, how do you deal with this, though? I've been telling everybody this forever, man. You know?
Yeah.
And I'm not really trying to say I told you so, but I am trying to say, guys, what we're giving you is common sense. Now, if you want the technical details of why I think there's a back door, we can go into that. But just on its face, is the government really going to let somebody create a digital currency that the government has zero ability to control, monitor, keep track of, or anything else? You think they're going to let that happen?
No.
Not on your life. That's not even a technical discussion, right?
Right. That's common sense. That's the problem is we're losing a lot of our common sense by allowing them to just dictate everything that's kind of, you know, what's happening. And that's just another avenue. They're not. I mean, there's a guy that was printing gold coins and silver coins as currency. And he had they confiscated, what, $5 million worth of his product and just said, you're not doing this. So, I mean, they're not going to be infringed. They're going to control that market, and they're not going to allow you to go in and create your own. So, yeah.
Anyway, I find it just amazing that people could really think it's the panacea, really think it's the answer. The only answer to honest money, ladies and gentlemen, is gold and silver constitutional currency. There is no other. And why are patriots just so excited to embrace some newfangled idea, some new plan, some better mousetrap, some that isn't tried, isn't proven, isn't tested, but they race to it like amazing. Oh, yeah, let's just have a constitutional convention and jettison the Constitution. That'll be better. Oh, let's just go ahead and do this plan or do that plan, or let's go to digital currency. Let's try this. Why don't they just go back to the tried and true? It hasn't been perfect because people haven't had fidelity to it, Brian, but the reality is it's worked for over 200 years. Can you find anything else that has even close to the track record, the stability, the consistency, the reliability? I mean, I can go on forever, but you can't find any. I don't understand why we're so quick to jettison those things and blame the problem on those things and embrace some new fancy-fangled something that's going to just be a bust.
Yeah, it's that kind of get-rich-quick type mentality that if we see a few people diving into that and they're all of a sudden multi-million, they're buying homes and all this. Everybody wants to jump on board. We don't even need to look into it much. Let's just do it. So we kind of get caught in that, I believe. It's very interesting. So, yeah. But, you know, I hate to off subject. I read this article. I'm reading this article called America Hope by President Ezra Taft Benson.
It's called America Hope?
Yeah, and he was speaking to a Rotary Club luncheon, and he goes forth and talks about, you know, how our, you know, and it's interesting how this in 1974, when he was talking about all this and some of the things, he just goes on, you know, it's just amazing how comparison to today, and that, and how right on, spot on he was, as we, you know, government becoming increasingly dominant in our affairs, you know, we were becoming more and more like ancient Rome before it crumbled and collapsed. And so he kind of went on and about our currency, or about everything that's really kind of going on. It's very, you might pull that up and read it, but yeah, we just get rich quick. That's how it should be, right? We want to be there, and that's the Bitcoin was one of those, I believe.
Yeah, one of the statements Ezra Taft Benson mentioned that I think is relevant to this discussion. We live in a time of crisis never seen since the Civil War. As this nation faces such critical days, Americans are destroying America, he says.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And you know, I don't know how to make it more plain than that, right?
Amen.
And he's not saying that that's the hope. What he's saying is that's the problem. Okay? And what he's saying is that when we say America's hope, what we're talking about is the hope of returning to the principles that made America great. The hope is in turning to God Almighty and the fundamental principles of the supreme law of the land. There is no other way, Brian. And I know everybody wants to hunt for one. What they want Brian to do is write a new book and pave a new way to panacea, to safety, to stability, to, you know, look, we were a light on a hill for a couple of hundred years with the principles enshrined in the supreme law. All we've got to do is return.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know how to get that across more than I already am, but Brian, why do we keep looking for something else over and over and over?
Well, you know, media and all the things, we just don't know where to grasp the truth. And yet you're out here projecting truth and so on. But Satan, his plan is to clutter our lives. So there's so much clutter going on. We're looking for, you know, let's get rich quick, or let's, you know, follow this path, or let's do this, or this, the cell phones. Let's, you know, all of a sudden now there's cell phones, and then this, and then there's just so much bombarded before us. Now we just need to turn back to God and declutter our lives and get back to the basics, proven basics that can bless us, that make things that made us strong. I mean, I you look at those that went out and fought for our country and what they put on, and how others, we've allowed others to come in and burn the flag, step on our, look, if you don't want to be here in this country, which is great, then don't destroy it. Move away. Get away. It's amazing how we've allowed all these programs, Black Lives Matter, all these things jump around us, and now we're caught in this blockchain of government, if you ask me, and media that has just twisted up, and we need to turn back to God and basics and this hope of a better country. And anyway.
Well, speaking of America's hope, my friend, you want a little tidbit of good news?
Yeah.
All right, check this out. It took 15 months for a judge to finally apply the Constitution against the most severe and arbitrary violations of our most basic civil liberties, but it's better late than never. Yeah, I kid you not, this is a great news piece on Tuesday. They call this Boone County, Kentucky. Circuit Judge Richard A. Brueggemann, I think is how you say his name, issued a permanent injunction against all of Governor Andy Beshear's COVID restrictions, including the mask mandate. We'll come back and talk about this huge story. Some say it's a day late and a dollar short, and it may be, but I submit to you that it's great news and has incredible significance. Brian Rust will respond. RussConingup.com in seconds on your radio.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, huge news indeed. Brian Rush, RushCutting.gift.com with me. Huge news, in my opinion, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Boone County, Kentucky, Kentucky Circuit Judge Richard A. Brugen issued a ruling, a permanent injunction against all of Governor Andy Beshear's restrictions, COVID restrictions, including the mask mandate. Here's the details, Brian. Unlike the few judicial victories for civil liberties over the past year, this one was broad and sweeping as it declared these mandates completely unconstitutional. In granting declaratory relief to a store owner who did not want to enforce masks on customers, Judge Brugen ruled that all emergency orders imposed by said defendants or being continued by said defendants, that means the governor and the government, are unconstitutional, void, and without any legal effect. Now, some say that although Governor Beshear planned to let the mask mandates expire on Friday, it doesn't matter. But, ladies and gentlemen, make no mistake about it, this ruling is still significant because it finally lays down the marker that such mandates are flat-out unconstitutional. And going forward is where it really matters. The problem champions of civil liberties have had in recent weeks is that with expiring mandates, many of the lawsuits were dismissed, saying they were moot, not important. But ladies and gentlemen, for the future, this matters. Say for the flu season or whatever other reason, they'll mandate masks or mandate other things in the future. It was somewhat defensible for judges to give leeway for the first 15 days or so of the pandemic last March, but shortly thereafter it became apparent that the situation was no longer, quote, emergent, and that the restrictions netted no results in slowing the pandemic. As such, at some point, judges should have held hearings on the facts and evidence behind the mask mandates and other restrictions, right? And subjected them to an interest balancing test against the fundamental rights those restrictions violate and encroach upon, and the rights to bodily integrity and free movement has been the most important reality in America. Judge Brugen has done just that. In his lawsuit, a restaurant owner backed by legislators and the state's attorney general claimed that the mask mandate, social distancing, capacity limitation, and dining restrictions created no purpose. They also claimed that the governor created new legislation, which he has no authority to do. incredible win, in my opinion. Whether it'll get its due across the country as it deserves or not, don't know. The mainstream press not reporting on it, and whether other courts will take action accordingly, time will tell. But it is a significant reality check. We've been claiming this all along, Brian.
Yeah, that's, you know, no doubt about it. It's a good thing, and that's the big issue is the mainstream press. I think the judges need to get together on the mainstream press and stop, you know, their corruption that goes on there, and bring out more of these things so that people across the country can see that, and you know what's going on. And I think that, you know, this judge stepping forward, I mean, we need more of that. You know, we checks and balances and law and so on. We need, you know, truth to come out of, you know, the truth be brought forth, and right, not, you know, our country, your government's locking down people because they say they can. Not, you know, you're already guilty. You're not guilty until proven guilty. You're just guilty, and we're locking you in. And oh, who cares how it destroys your life? Oh, we made a mistake, and there's just no, you know, it's terrible how our system. But isn't that what happened in the scriptures? If you read kind of back then, the Sadducees, you know, the judges and lawyers back then, isn't that kind of what we're seeing again today? You know, these wicked people that are causing harm because they can, because they feel like they can, because they have power. I you know, it's just wrong. But here's a good one. That's a great one. No doubt about it.
There you have it. I thought that was really fascinating and a good news piece. We're really running short on good news pieces, in my opinion, Brian, and that's where we got to really kind of work hard to make a difference. There's a headline I want to bounce off you called "No Vaccine, No Work," USA Today, Brian, and they're really talking now about these vaccine passports. They're saying that companies have the right to mandate these passports, and a lot of the big companies are moving forward on this. For example, literally thousands of workers in a Houston hospital, they say scores of workers at a Houston hospital have been suspended and face being fired for refusing the COVID-19 vaccination. They say controversial company mandate has drawn protests and outcry from those facing termination. Very interesting. The CEO, Mark Boom, I guess is his name, said the 178 workers in this case represent less than 1% of the almost 25,000 employees, and we are nearly 100% compliant with our COVID-19 vaccine mandate. Now, what I find interesting about this, Brian, is why are they worried? If 99%, if you believe the CEO, are vaccinated, why are we worried about the 1%? Is the vaccine safe and effective? They have nothing to worry about, right?
Yeah, I think you're right. I'd like to know, kind of behind closed doors, are these big CEOs or whatever in their meetings with the powers to be, do they put pressure on them to, look, you got to set the example, and you got to get all your people in there, you got to, you know, and if you do, I guess we'll give you this, you know, is there greasing of the palms? Is that kind of what, I don't know, but there's no choice, right? I mean, are they not taking away the choice of those people or freedoms?
Yeah, the agency's flat out violated. Well, I don't know. I guess they could say you could just basically get fired and go work somewhere else, Brian.
Yeah, that's
depends on how you define agency, I guess.
Well, then is that discrimination, I guess, against those people that wanted to choose? Like, I don't know. It's sad. It's just wrong.
Amen to that. Amen to that. And I see trouble in Denmark with this whole policy, Brian.
Yeah.
And I see it being a serious, serious problem. And I kind of mentioned to most Americans, you know, you've been trained and raised to work for the man. Not enough of us have been trained to be entrepreneurs and focus on the entrepreneurial spirit. And that's kind of the part of the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. They've kind of taken that right out of us, you know, beat us down. And so on, and yeah, no doubt about it. It's well in the control, more and more and more control, more and more and more. You know that, you know, we're tossed to and fro. We sit in a boat, tossed to and fro. We don't have any oars. Push this way, push that way. We have no choice. I mean, isn't that isn't that kind of communism, or is that kind of what it is? Or I don't know. You know, you get in a food line, here's your food for the day. You don't get a choice. You just, here it is. I don't know.
Now, Anthony Fauci is out there warning about another serious variant, is what they call it. Variant, or Fauci warned Americans of a new, highly infectious COVID-19 variant as he urged more vaccinations during Tuesday's press briefing. The variant, dubbed the Delta variant, was first noticed in India and has since spread to other parts of the world, including the UK and America. I find this interesting, too. You know, if the virus was not man-made, how are all these variants and all these viruses just breaking out everywhere?
That's right.
It really points to man-made and man-inserted into certain populations intentionally different variants. Fauci says it's been reported in over 60 countries, and its transmissibility is higher than the Alpha variant. That's the one you and I are used to, I guess.
Yeah. Well, does Fauci have any credibility anymore?
Well, I mean, you know, it depends on who you talk to there.
Yeah. That's
according
maybe
to me, he has zero credibility. In fact, the guy's a criminal and ought to be arrested, if you ask me.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That's kind of what I think. So with these various strains, is that we had bats over here in Asia, the bats, and then is there the muskrat over in this, and that's a different strain, or we have the boar, pig type animal, and that strain, I don't know. They just are creating a lot of things, I guess, the different strains. Sounds man-made to me, too.
Well, it just seems weird that we just get all of a sudden just so many variants so quickly inserted in so many sections of the world. Oh, this one's the Indian variant, but don't worry, it's in 60 countries already. What? Wait a minute, worry. Get the vaccine. Hey, we got an American one. Oh, this one came from Japan. Oh, this one came from England. No, that's the China variant, man. And then they're like, hey, it all came out from an animal in China.
Right.
You know, animal to human just kind of went there because everybody ate bad meat from the raw market or whatever it is. And man, now, how do you get all these variants all over the world inserted into every population under the sun with that kind of a scenario with different variants morphing so quickly? It doesn't make any sense if you have a human brain. It reminds me of this situation where I told you, look, cryptocurrency, if the government didn't have a backdoor and a way to control it, they wouldn't let it grow to the point they did. Same things with this. How can you say that it came from an animal to a human in a wet market in China, and that's the way it was done, and anybody else who thinks anything different is a conspiracy theorist, but then nevertheless you have this inserted into all these populations with different variants? I don't think these things spread. I mean, they might spread that quickly, Brian, but they don't morph that fast.
Yeah.
Because not only does it morph, but then it's in 60 countries. Before you even know it, blam, shazam. I mean, you know, it's amazing.
That's right. That's the fear factor, right? I mean, isn't that what they're you know, they want us to all have fear. You know, there's no hope, but it's all fear. That's the pushing more things out here, more there. Here's this, man. You get that vaccine quick, or it's, you know, the rubonic plague or whatever, and we're going to lose half of our population. Get that. Yeah, you better get your shot. I'm telling you right now. No choice.
Wow. It's hard for me to even know how to respond to this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's so in your face that it's just shocking. Yeah, it looks like the CDC stat on outdoor transmission of the coronavirus is way off. They got caught with less than scientific data, Brian.
No. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Wow. How could they get caught?
And a CNN staffer admitted on camera that the network played up the COVID death toll for ratings.
Probably no accountability there either, right?
Yeah, and the Washington Post was forced to admit that the media had been wrong to panic over crowds that gathered in Lake of the Ozarks. They made a big old meltdown, trashed on and everything else. Now they admit, there was no coronavirus clusters even associated. Finally, the truth is out against these big TV networks that flat out lied for ratings.
Yeah, there you go.
Brian, thank you so much, sir.
Hey, you bet. Great job, Sam.
Thank you. Brian Rest, restcardandgift.com, doing a phenomenal job as always on your radio. I am Sam Bushman. Hour one in the can, hour two coming up. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. I declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic.